The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. The second half of the program is live, and we talked a lot about the NIL situation. We'll go down to Baton Rouge in a minute, where they are still excited about the Kim Mulkey hire. And more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's check out Mark, who is up next. Hey, Mark, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, good afternoon. I feel like, you know, that there's something that's about to happen. It's kind of like Coach Bryant dying. You remember when you were, you know where you were, when you were, and did what you did?
Oh, sure.
We're going to lose the greatest coach that's ever coached the game, and it's not Bryant. That's just my opinion. And here's where I'm going. Coach Nick Saban, he is a fundamentalist, he is a traditionalist, and he's a guy of his word. And all of these rule changes are like, you know, all the, and people have talked about this, and I think people know Coach Saban, that a lot of people want to think, okay, when's Saban going to leave? Is it going to be when he wins another one or this, that? No, he's leaving soon because college football is changing at such a rapid pace that it's not the game that he loves. It's turning into something that is not what Coach Saban loves to do. And Coach Saban will leave when, and he said this before, I've heard him say it in a Friday with Saban luncheon, I'll leave when I no longer love what I do. And so for all those out there wanting to know when Coach Saban's leaving, it's going to be when all these changes come down. I think, when, you know, and I hate it. I love Alabama football. He'll coach this year, I think, this year, and he's done. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah, Mark, you've said something very interesting. And I think all of us who watch from whatever distance that we are sitting – think that every one of these personalities love every moment of what they do. What they do is discipline. There are days when it's great, and then there are days when it's terrible. And I think you're right about something. And while none of us understand exactly where this NIL is going, I've heard some horror stories. You may have as well. And there will be certain coaches who are going to be able to manipulate the system better than anyone else. And that's where the victors, and that's where the spoils will go. It's an old cliche, to the victor belongs the spoils. And I think you're right. And it's not necessarily Nick Saban's age, because I don't think his age matters anymore. I used to think that, but that's been proven to be incorrect. It's the frustration and having to herd the players in a way that he's never had to do it. He managed the pandemic. In some ways, you know, we talked about the tornado today. I think that was a transformation of Nick Saban understanding that maybe he really does matter to that community. And he found out that he was important. And we all know how important he is now. But the pandemic really may be his virtuoso performance, because he won the national championship before anyone really knew what hit them. But it's hard to keep replicating that. And I agree. I've never believed that Saban was going to coach indefinitely.
And thank you, Paul, for letting me, if I could just say one more statement that I just really feel pressed here to say, and that's Coach Saban also, you know, he's got Terry there, who's the coach, but you got the thing with Coach is, he's got a standard of excellence, and we've heard his speeches, and everybody's like, I'm sick of the process talk, but he's got his own process, and when he can't do what he wants to do, he's not going to do it. And we're going, you know, and I'll end the call with this. All of our great coaches are going to start fading away. You know, your Beamers, our Bowdens, all these people that I grew up watching, and Saban will be next, and we're going to be replaced with guys who are CEOs of mini pro football, and that's the future of college football.
Well, Mark, thank you. I mean, what you described is Nick Saban, but you know, everyone reaches a boiling point, and I've said this 1,000 times, and I'll say it one more time: the great ones don't leave because of the big things. mean, Nick Saban's already won his defining national championship. It's usually the little things, and you were hinting at that. And it's just I was not surprised, because I've talked to Coach Saban about this issue many, many times. But just in what he said today about the playoff and what he didn't say was very, very revealing. Let's get back to the calls and check out Larry, who is up next. Larry, go right ahead. No, maybe not. Kurt is up next. Hey, Kurt, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. This is Kurt from Virginia. I have a question. What teams that are not from the SEC the SEC is kind of worried about? For example, we know about Clemson, we know about Miami and Florida State, but I was kind of thinking about like Coastal Carolina, because the University of South Carolina has had a really down year, and Coastal Carolina seems to be coming up, and they could supplant South Carolina as the number two team in the state. And the same thing, if Louisiana beats Texas, I was wondering, would the people in Baton Rouge start becoming concerned, that another school could start rising up and start taking away a lot of the talent that normally an LSU gets? And even if Alabama, once Saban retires and Auburn, who seems to fluctuate up and down, if an Alabama-Birmingham starts to rise up, would that be a concern for, those schools, that the talent base could, start getting diluted? I'm from Virginia, so we have Hugh Freeze as the coach of Liberty where I went. And the fact that, we beat Tech this year, and we got the people in Blacksburg and, Charlottesville, somewhat concerned that, that we could become a problem. I was just wondering if there are any other little schools like that that the SEC would be concerned about.
Well, I'll try not to give the company line that we aren't concerned about anyone, but I think you raise a really good point, especially about Liberty. And Coastal is a good one, and there are others. And I've seen it. There was a time in the 80s, in the late 80s into the early 90s when, for example, Southern Miss had the best program in that state. Why? Well, the reason was simple. They had a quarterback in the 80s named Reggie Collier and a quarterback in the late 80s and early 90s named Brett Favre. So it depends. I don't think Coastal is going to supplant South Carolina, but the one thing schools like South Carolina and Tennessee, just to name a few, can't afford are more years of mediocrity. They've had too many. Their fans have had enough. Their fans have said countless times, I can't tell you how excited I am about the new coach, and then find out that it turns out to be a white elephant. So you raise an interesting point. I don't know what's going to happen to some of these places, but fans can only stand to support a mediocre program for so long when the players will start going elsewhere.
Yeah, well, I was just wondering, because the coach at Coastal seems to be happy where he is, and he seems to be better.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know Coach Chadwick, but for all the conversation about him and for Hugh Freeze, I'll bring him into it. Hugh Freeze is somebody I've known a long time, and like everyone knows that. But how many jobs did Hugh Freeze and Jamie Chadwick turn down this year? Do you know?
I really don't know. I guess the thing with Hugh is that, he's at a school where if he goes 7-3 or 7-4 and beats Tech and UVA once every couple of years, they'll build a monument for him at the school. They might name a stadium after him, where if he did that at Auburn, they'd fire him.
So I agree with you on that, but I will also tell you, this is my opinion only, if Hugh Freeze had been offered the South Carolina job, the Tennessee job, he would be there at either one or both. Not at both, but of course. I just think Hugh Freeze, there's a group of people that are determined to make him pay for what he did. And that doesn't stop his greatness. I think he's a fantastic coach. Chadwick, I don't know why he, his name came up for a bunch of jobs and then it disappeared. Thank you for the call. Really, really insightful. But I will tell you, it's always been my theory that, what you read is not always what really goes on. And coaching searches are ugly, and there are a lot of things that get thrown up against the wall. And, you know, sometimes it's accurate and sometimes it's not, but it doesn't take much to scare an administration away from a coach. We'll take a break, more to come.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back, and the biggest story in Louisiana this week has been women's basketball and Kim Mulkey returning to her roots after three national championships in Waco. Headlining The Athletic, home at LSU for the Strawberries, the Crawfish, and to win a national title. And somebody who's just written a brilliant piece about it is Brody Miller from The Athletic. And Brody, thank you very much for the time. I don't know about you, but this story continues to garner a great deal of attention, excitement. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, and I think the reason it's going to get so much excitement is just because there's really, I mean, no precedent in modern sports, I think, for this. You know, even a Jimbo Fisher leaving Florida State, you know, that's one national championship, and things are starting to level out. This is Kim Mulkey leaving for LSU after three national championships, one of the winningest coaches in Hall of Famer, about to be inducted in the Hall of Fame in a few weeks. I mean, there's really nothing like this. I almost, you know, I try to think of comps, and, you know, I'm an Indiana alum, so my mind almost went to if Brad Stevens actually went to Indiana, right? I really can't think of much like this. And this is the name that every LSU fan has deep down been clamoring for, you know, a decade, saying bring Kim Mulkey home. And Scott Woodward, who, you know, you know better than I mean, that is his track record. He got Chris Peterson to Washington. He got Jimbo Fisher to A&M and Buzz Williams to A&M, and now his first real major hire in his 2 years in back home Baton Rouge, and he lands Kim Mulkey for a good payday, of course, but still, this is I put in my story. Yeah, I mean, we'll see if it's one of the best hires in LSU history. I mean, yeah, you'll go to your Skip Bertmans and your Nick Sabans there, but I don't think there's ever been a larger hire in context than Kim Mulkey.
Brody Miller, how did he do it? How did he pull it off?
Yeah, it's one of those stories that I think the answer is going to remain a little ambiguous for a while, because, you know, she tells the story of a 10 to 15 minute conversation with Scott Woodward that pretty much sold her on it. And she didn't go too much in the detail, but she said there were some questions about the state of Louisiana. And there was so much talk about the state of Louisiana. And I think all of us kind of sometimes when we hear these stories, of course, we roll our eyes a little sometimes, and it's like, yeah, but really, what did it? Was it the money? Things like that. And let's not ignore the money. I mean, of course, she's getting, you know, $2.5 million this year. It's going to go up to a little north of $3 million by the end of her deal that runs through 2029. You know, I think, keep in mind, she was at Louisiana Tech for 15 years. So I think there's a pension piece of this in Louisiana that's a big part of this. I think they're going to make her an important part of that athletic department, you know, even after she's done coaching. Those things, I think, were a very big part of landing Kim Mulkey. But yeah, I think there was just a lot of assurances that, you know, they're going to commit to women's basketball. They're really going to put the resources in. They're going to upgrade some facilities. And then she had a really interesting line that she said, this isn't just about winning championships. And she said it wasn't just about money. I think she said something lines of, this is about bringing something positive to a university during a time when it really needs it. And I think, you know, maybe that's alluding to the pandemic. Maybe that's alluding to the massive Title IX scandal around this program. But you almost have to wonder, you know, is that the thing hovering over this, that she wanted to come kind of be the savior in her home state right now?
Well, she can do that, Brody. She'll be worth a lot more than $2.5 million.
Yes, no argument there. I think one thing everyone mentioned to me, every source I talked to when they talked about Kim Mulkey, was don't leave out the big factor. She knows how to raise money, and I think that's another big part of us they're really getting behind, is that she's somebody that's going to get in with the fundraiser. She's going to, you know, she's going to get in there and raise money for facilities and all that, and I think that's a big part of this. And, yeah, I don't know if it's realistic to expect a national championship in the next few years. I mean, LSU is a long way to go, but if she can get them back to being a major program, yeah, she's worth every penny of that.
And Brody, you know, forgetting even the Title IX scandal, which, as we all know, seemingly grows worse every day, to me, you juxtapose what we saw yesterday, a backslapping, a hilarious press conference with a real personality, versus Will Wade, who, even though he is doing it on the court, you tell me, I mean, we don't hear a lot from him, do we?
Yeah, I mean, I think Will Wade, that's a good question, I guess. I mean, Will Wade's really good with the local media. He does things. But, yeah, I guess he's, I see your point. He's not as much of a, you know, out and about, front-facing, public-facing, you know, like, LSU representative in the way that Kim Mulkey's going to be, or even the times that Ogeron has been, right? I think you're right about that. I think Will Wade, and maybe some of that has to do with the negativity around him these last few years and the different scandals, and maybe he's just kind of knowing when to mind his business and when not to. But, yeah, no, I mean, that's a fair point. Yeah, Kim Mulkey is going to be more of a forward-facing person in this athletic department than Will Wade is. I think that's fair, and they're making similar money, which doesn't happen at many universities.
Talking to Brody Miller, yeah, and you know, not to harp on Will Wade, but I bet the only time I really have heard him outside of the court and outside of his mission was the hullabaloo with Dick Vitale, which fortunately came and went as quickly as a comment. But I don't want to harp on that because I think that's for another day, and we really don't know where that is going. But let's talk about the heritage of that program. It was in good shape, maybe not this year, but they've had some success. So how does Coach Mulkey turn that culture around, so to speak?
You know, I think you start with, like I said, I think you really can't leave out. I mean, it's something Will Wade's been pushing for years, is upgrades to the PMAC, you know, the P. Maravich Assembly Center, upgrades to the overall basketball facilities. Just, and something I talked about with Executive Athletic Director, you know, Stephanie Remp, is just so much of this was just assuring Kim Mulkey of they are going to commit to women's basketball and really put it behind it. Maybe they, and men's basketball too. I really do think there's a little bit of going hand to hand there. So I think you start there. I think that's a big part of it. And the other thing is, it's recruiting. I mean, Kim Mulkey is one of the better recruiters in the country. And that, for everyone to say about Nikki Fargus, a lot of people will tell you she's a good basketball coach, but she struggled as a recruiter. She had a lot of room for growth there. A lot of her best players left after a year or two, things like that. I think Kim Mulkey, one, she's going to recruit Louisiana and probably never let somebody get out of state there. She's somebody, I mean, LSU always has decent success recruiting Texas, but I imagine she's going to really, you know, make a bigger input in Texas. So I think her input as a recruiter is just going to be a huge part of this, and obviously she can coach. So I think it's going to take some time. I think there's a legitimate rebuild that needs to happen, and probably a lot of use in the transfer portal right now, which I imagine if you're a transfer going to Kim Mulkey and rebuilding in LSU would be one of the better pitches you could make to come in and be a star, for example. But, yeah, I mean, it's a long, you know, question. I think there are so many pieces to it, but I think so much of it is facilities and recruiting.
I know they've had some success recently, but I thought it was interesting and poignant how she talked about Paul Mainieri at the press conference. Of course, we all know his son. Yeah. Her son played. It was one of the few. It was one of the rare public compliments I've heard for Paul Mainieri lately.
Yes, yeah. I mean, their relationship really is a fascinating one, right? Because I think. I think there were times, you know, I mean, shoot, Paul Menard didn't bring Kramer Robertson to the first College World Series in his career because he had so much maturing to do and growth to do, and he wanted more out of him. And maybe Kim Mulkey and Paul Menard didn't always have maybe they butted heads at times. But at the end of the day, I mean, she put it well, right? She said, "You took a cocky young boy and turned him into a man, and for that I'm ever grateful." And I think that's real. I mean, Paul Menard is a lot of players, you know, they won't leave this program loving Paul Menard. They don't. I mean, you know, he can be a tough coach to play for at times, but Kramer Robertson is honestly like a son to Paul Menard, and they have one of those relationships. So, and I think in turn, Kim Mulkey and Paul Menard have that relationship. So there's something to that. Cause yeah, it's a pretty tough time for Paul Menard. I think that's safe to say. The program is in under a lot of scrutiny right now. So yeah, that was a good moment for Paul.
Brody Miller, fantastic conversation about Kim Mulkey. Thanks for joining us, Brody. We always appreciate it. Be well.
All right, thanks for having me, Paul.
You got it. Really, LSU, he's right. LSU needed a positive story, and they got one in Coach. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back, and Bob is up next in the state of Tennessee. Bob, thanks. Good afternoon.
I'm up next.
Hey, Bob.
How's it going?
We're doing great.
Yeah, you know, I was just calling to wonder. I'm a Titan season ticket holder, and I listened to Undisputed and First Take and everything all the day, and I just wondered what Paul's take on it was when they never even mentioned the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, Bob, you're talking to Paul here. I have not seen First Take in a couple of weeks, so I'm not sure.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, good afternoon. I heard your question, and I don't know the answer because I've kind of sworn off. I've sworn off those shows for the off season. So you know, could it be that I have no idea. I mean, mainly the talking heads right now are chatting about who's going in the draft. Yeah, we'll see if we can. I think I feel like we were talking maybe to. The space shuttle up in space there. But the answer is I have no idea why First Take wasn't talking about the Titans. But I could call Stephen A. if you want me to. Thanks for the call. If you want to give us a ring, it's 855-242-7285. And let's check in with Mike, who is up next. Hey, Mike, go right ahead.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum.
Hey, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm glad you asked.
Good. I have been listening to this college football playoff debate kicked around, and if you would allow me, I would like to give you an old school, realistic view of the way I see it.
I would love to hear it.
Now, I am a man about your age and raised in the South, and I know you have, from where you see it, you have a lot better view of the landscape than I do.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
But before I touch on that, I would like to hit something real quick. A week or two ago, you were talking about I was raised in Northeast Mississippi, and we also got Memphis wrestling down here. When you were talking about Jackie Fargo's partner, was that Bill Dundee?
I think so. It was either Bill Dundee or Tojo Yamamoto. I can't remember which one it was.
Okay, well, I remember Tojo Yamamoto and Plowboy Frazier,
right,
and Jackie Fargo and all those. But
yeah,
anyway,
no, those were the. Go ahead. I'm really interested to hear what you have to think of, what you have to say about the college football situation.
Okay, this is from an old school point of view, Paul. It looks like there's two factions that's driving this expansion. One is financial people that wants to be in on the slice of the money pie. The second group is fans, coaches of perennial number five through whatever number you want to go down to, 12, 16, however many. Those are the people that's wanting to expand it. To me, and being an old school, to be a champion, you have to be better than everybody else. And you have to earn it. You can't be given anything. You can't. That's what the bowl games are for. If you have a good season, go to the bowl games. Showcase your talent. A championship is for the best in the land. Me personally, I think four is too many, because a championship game is just going to be two teams, the two best teams. And our first two playoff games the last 2 years, it had been admittedly lackluster, that the game was actually the title game. That's what we're doing. So bringing everybody in to expand it, just so they can get a piece of the financial pie, just so they can showcase their team, say, yeah, we went to the playoffs. Well, what if you do go to the playoffs and you get sent home 47-0? What have you done? So, you know, back in our days, you earned to be champion. You had to be the best, and you had to earn it. And that is by full body of work of the year, not just the last two or three games you've done. So that is my take on it, Paul.
Well, Mike, I think you make a lot of sense. And, you know, my view may be different only because you can't go backwards. And I'm not saying that it wouldn't be better to go backwards, because quite frankly, I am not impressed with the 14 playoff either. So I agree with you on that. But when in doubt, just expand. That's kind of the way we do things in this country. And I think that's where we are right now. I cannot make a strong argument for you to you why it's better by adding more teams, other than the fact that some will say it's more inclusive and there's more money to be made. You can't tell me the games, you're going to help identify a better champion. You're not. But that, what you're going to hear is this: more schools need to be part of the party. That right now it's gotten stale because it's the same four or five or six every year. And it's gotten also to the point where if you're not in the playoffs, you don't matter to young recruits. So that's a big issue.
Well, before, the way to get in the playoffs was to pull your laces up tight and get in there and work as hard as you can. If you're
right,
tired of the same ones repetitious getting in, well, you outwork them. You beat them. That's how you get them out. You don't cry expand, you know, to me. You just,
well, Mike, let me ask you a question. In your lifetime, have you ever seen anything compress? Have you seen fewer awards being given out at the Oscars, the Grammys, or at your Little League neighborhood, or have you seen more awards being given out?
Well, you're correct. It is more awards.
Of course.
But I would also say that now the awards that are being given out are less valuable.
I agree. I totally agree. Awards. But I remember, as you do, the NCAA basketball tournament. My favorite team growing up, they had to win two games to get to the Final Four. Now you have to win four, maybe five, to get to the Final Four. Because why? And the answer is obvious. The more games, the more revenue, the more inventory for, guess what? Television.
Correct.
Now, I'm not going to sit here on a television network, which is a subsidiary of the biggest and most powerful sports network in the country, to argue that that is a bad thing, because I understand the mechanics of television. It's about live events. The more, the better. And that's how you pay the bills, and that's also how you supplement those sports that don't make any money. I thank you for the call. I mean, you raised some great points, and I agree with a lot of them, but I also agree that we're not going back in time, and quite frankly, I don't want to go back in time. I had a wonderful childhood up until a certain point. It was idyllic to a degree, and then it wasn't. And I don't think we're ever going back. And quite frankly, the world is different today. The world is not flat. The world is not seen through a small prism. It's seen through a large prism. It's inclusive. And some of those concepts apply in what we're talking about here in sports. And it's same thing with the NIL. It's the same thing. There are very strong arguments why now it's time to share the wealth. And I just don't think we're going to revert. I mean, we may have come close to it over the past couple of years from a political standpoint, but we're not going back. We're not going back there from an athletic standpoint. We're going to take a break. And we will be back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Call Feinbaum now. 855-242-7285. That's 855-242-PAUL. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Yeah, we welcome you back. It is interesting for all the arguments against expanding the playoff. Twice Alabama has won a national championship without winning its own division in the SEC. So, just a point. Let's continue with more phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Patrick is up next. Hey, Patrick, good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for taking my call again.
Thank you.
Yeah, I called yesterday, and I kind of, like, pontificated about Florida and wanted to apologize about that.
That's okay.
I also want to talk about the playoff expansion.
Yes.
Yeah, so I feel like I think it's a good thing. The caller that you just had was talking about you have to play your way in, beat the team you can play. But you look at the group of five teams, they could win all the games in their schedule and they'll still be like top of the ranking, be like number five, and they can't play their way in. So I feel like, expand it and let them get a chance.
I am of the opinion you're probably right. Let's think about Cincinnati last year. They were probably the best from the next category. And they should have beaten Georgia. They didn't, of course, but they certainly were competitive enough that they had that game in hand until the final field goal. So, what would Coastal have done? Or what would Liberty have done? I think they would have been very competitive.
Yeah, I think it also gives the spotlight to those teams that, they're playing in a league that gets the opportunity to play in the playoffs, that gets to play for the national championship, which is going to turn like bolster their leagues, which is going to be better whenever a Power Five team plays those teams, because now it's like, oh, that team went to the playoffs, so I think it's just a better all around expanding it. I think it's to say more inclusive. So I think it's a good thing.
Thank you, Patrick. Ray is up next. Ray is in Virginia. You're on the air. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. I just wanted to call and think outside the box with you for a moment. It's really not about expanding the playoff system. It's about reorganizing it.
Okay.
It would pay, I think, to have Division I college football divided into eight 16-member conferences. primarily organized around geographic confinements and creating rivalries. And with eight teams in each division, with one conference championship game, and that would result in eight teams playing in four bowl games to come up with the four winners that would play in the two playoff games and then lead to the national championship. Just outside the box, but just that's just my thoughts on the system.
Well, Ray, thank you for sharing that. Thank you very much. John is up next in Ohio. Hello, John. Thank you and good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Question on for your thoughts. The likeness and image, profiting from that for the athletes. Scenario, you got a high school kid, he's finished his high school, he's ready to go right to the university early, and there's a coach, recruiting coach, sitting in his living room, and he has that university jersey with the kid's high school number on it, saying to him, he knows of five alumni who are each ready to lay down $20,000 each to buy that particular jersey once he signs this letter.
Yeah, that doesn't sound kosher to me, John, but that doesn't mean anybody would ever catch somebody doing it.
Yep. Well, expand it to the same thing with the portal. You got kids want to transfer. What enticements could they be getting into along those same lines?
Well, I don't know the answer. And this is why it's a mess, and it's the NCAA's fault. They should have dealt with this years ago when they had control, and now they've lost control. And it is going to, as one caller very correctly put about an hour ago, it's whether it's Nick Saban or not, it will send a lot of coaches out of the business because it's something that they can't control. Coaches are very militaristic. They're authoritative, and they like to control everything, and they won't have any control. And you know, whether they use it in recruiting or not, they'll have to try to find any edge. More than likely, they will have other people whisper into the players' ears. There will be middlemen. There will be unofficial street agents telling players, hey, listen, you go to this school and here's what you're going to be able to get. I mean, it's too late now. We're entering the gravity of the NIL. It's just a matter of how it turns out.
Yeah, I agree. It's just a little bit of a sad state of affairs that we have to look at things this way, and that, as you said, it doesn't sound kosher, but in the next breath.
Yeah, for those who are traditionalists and old school, college athletics has changed. I mean, basketball has already changed. It's a great sport to watch, but what goes on to get the player on campus is difficult to see. And you know, some places it's better than others. And now that a lot of schools are realizing, the federal government, in spite of all its protestations, really has no control. I mean, this FBI investigation, it was borderline laughable. Hey, thank you so much for the call. Let me check out Jerry next in Oklahoma. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing this afternoon, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I want to be brief as possible about this, but this is an unbelievable, you know, it's one of those that goes in the annals of just when you think you've heard it all. It's about this, it's a freshman baseball player for Florida Atlantic. Freshman catcher comes up for his first career at bat and hits a grand slam home run. 14 minutes later, he comes up to bat again in the same inning with the same exact players on the same bases they were on before and hits his second grand slam in the same inning.
That's never happened before. Hey, thanks, Jerry, for sharing that story. I'll have to go back and read about that. We have another hour to go. We appreciate you being a part of the program, and we are coming right back.